Offering our loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Afternoon Satsang. As always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Arvind, and we are here to take you through this week's Afternoon Satsang. And to remind you, we had spoken about the Ramkatha Swaini last week, so this is going to be that fortnight where we speak about a general topic. We've taken a very interesting topic for this week and the next one. It is about one aspect which Swami would tell us repeatedly as students, as Swami would repeatedly mention in his discourses, especially very important for youngsters. And I think it's very important for all of us, because all of us think that we are young for a long time, till we even get very old. So to introduce the topic and to get into it, I'll invite Arvind to join all of us. Sairam Arvind.
Sairam Prem. And you rightly said that, because age is often considered as our perspective and not the property of the number of years or the other ways of counting. The theme that we have picked today is termed as television televisham. Swami would often play on this term television and call it as televisham. Visham meaning poison. He would call it as a medium that injects poison. At first hearing, this sounds very harsh, because it's like how when Swami says that technology is trick knowledge, we feel again Swami is being harsh on technology. Because I have seen people from our own student circles, you know, asking whether Swami did not make use of technology. Today it is technology that is making this possible, Radio Sai and the ways to spread Swami's message. So how can all technology be grouped as trick knowledge? But, you know, I think there is definitely a lot of thought that we have to put into this term that is televisham. When Swami says, there is definitely a reason behind everything that Swami says or Swami does. And today it will be our endeavor, dear listeners, to go deeper into why possibly Swami would have called television as televisham. And this becomes very relevant today, because possibly at the times when Swami spoke about this, we have a few discourses that are from the 90s. Those days, the way television was, and today the way television is, the different things into which television has evolved into, I think it grows in relevance for us today. And we have to be thankful to Swami for all that he has said. And of course, as we go through this satsang, we will be playing out actual discourse clippings and then discuss in detail on that based on the society and the world today.
One thing about Swami and Swami's instructions is, you know, Swami would never force anything. Swami would always give it as an instruction, as a advice, as a suggestion. And it's absolutely up to us, you know, how much we want to absorb it in our life and how much we would like to show our devotion and reverence to Swami through the absorption of such messages. You know, a simple thing I would hear Swami, we all heard Swami tell many times in his discourses. He said, if you eat 3 times a day, you're a rogi. If you eat 2 times a day, you're a, you know, bogi. And once a day, it's a yogi. But you don't have the canteen serving food only once a day. You certainly have the canteen serving food 3 times a day. And Swami would say that sattvic food should be non-spicy, and, you know, it should be cooked in a certain way. But you have food which is made in different ways in the ashram. So there's a certain amount of restriction which Swami plays, which is mandatory, which Swami says it's non-negotiable when it comes to some substances like intoxicants or non-vegetarian food. But some of the other advice is open for you to pick and choose, and, you know, how much are you able to adhere to it. I feel this advice of Swami of not watching television is something like that. Swami has laid it very clear what he expects of us, and says very, very clearly. In fact, now when we, as you said, go through the discourse and listen to it in parts, we'll realize that, you know, to how much detail Swami actually spoke about it and laid it to us to say that these are the different ways in which this television affects us. But, you know, it is there for us to absorb partially, completely, or how much we want to take it seriously.
I agree on that point, you know, because when Swami says alcoholism or non-vegetarianism is a strict no-no, you will see that the canteens definitely don't serve it. You are prohibited from even getting it into the ashram. At the same time, you know, we have seen where Swami has bashed up the internet, saying that it's no use if you're on the internet, you need to be on the inner net. Okay. At the same time, in Swami's physical presence also, there were internet-related technologies in the ashram, and it was not as if they were prohibited the way meat and alcohol were prohibited. So in that sense, yes, so Swami has given guidelines, and it's up to us to understand how much of it is relevant for us and how much of it we imbibe in our lives. See, I remember, for example, you know, one of my earliest experiences with Swami and the television. Mm-hmm. I think this was possibly when I was in fourth grade in Mumbai. At that time, there was a very popular wrestling show. Even to this day, it is present, but I don't know if it's as popular as it was. See, that time, this advent of star TV and the satellite television, you know, it was such a new thing. In fact, for the first time in my life, I got to know that there are more channels coming in the air than the number of channels slotted on my television. You know, I had only eight channels. There was no remote. I had to go and press channel 1, channel 2. And all my years in Bangalore, before we shifted to Bombay, two channels would suffice. Doordarshan. And on Saturday and Sunday, we would have DD Metro coming on channel 2. So, 6 channels were always free for anything else.
And even the first channel was not 24/7.
Exactly.
It used to be from morning to night.
12 hours a day. 12 to 16 hours maximum. So, there were actually times when you put on a television and you get nothing but color bars. Just to... That also, you know, was put so that people understand that your TV set has not conked. And when they would be, when, you know, that... sound, just the showing that the audio visual output of your television is fine, nothing is being aired now. That you just can't imagine a time like this today when we have more than, the last time I checked, in India itself we have 848 channels which have been permitted to air. I was thinking, even if you have to watch every channel for a minute, a day is not enough, you know. that is the way it's... So coming back to the story, so this wrestling was something that I wished to watch. And though my mother allowed me to watch television, she was very strict about the kind of influences that would come on me. So, you don't watch this, watch this. So, this wrestling was something, the freestyle wrestling where they... today, I know that it's a charade and it's acting. But it's quite real, you know. So, it looks quite real. So, she said, you're not going to watch this. And this wrestling would come at 2:30 in the afternoon when my mom is sleeping. So every day I would try to come and see if she's sleeping and slowly close the door and bring the television to zero volume. That also was a slider. It was not on remote. And then put on the TV and watch it in mute at least, you know. So one day she told me that, see, this is not the kind of things you should watch. And love for Swami was already there. She said, Swami doesn't like this. And she put not the fear of God, but the love for Swami into that equation. And she said, don't watch. She had no idea that I had been stealthily watching. That particular day, again, once my mom had slept, I went slowly, shut the bedroom door, and then came here, put on the switch. See, actually, even the shutting the bedroom door, I realized that later when she gets up, if she sees the bedroom door closed, she might suspect something. That is why I started doing this in zero volume, you know. So, I went to the volume, brought it down to zero, and as I was going to put on the main switch, you won't believe it, from the photograph which was on that wall, Swami's photograph which was on that wall where the main switch was, a big marigold flower, it thumped onto my hand, you know, thump, it just fell. Call it coincidence, but I was scared stiff. You know, I just froze, and it was a picture of Swami looking and smiling, and, you know, I just felt, oh my God, he's seeing, you know, he's seeing. And so I shut it. And that was one of the first experiences with television, and I find it very, very appropriate to recount it here, because as we shall see in the discourses that we play, in one discourse, Swami also makes it clear. He says that, see, I'm not telling you don't watch television, but the kind of things you watch on television, you have to be very careful about. And here I was watching something that was in no way helpful. In fact, it will definitely be harmful. And I was doing it against my mother's wish. And that was Swami's way of saying, hey, I'm watching.
Now, I'm reminded of what one of the seniors once shared with us. And, I mean, as you're saying, when we were students, Swami would instruct us about the content we watch on TV rather than watching or not watching TV. In fact, Swami would say, don't go out to the cinema and don't go and watch a movie. But as you said, this was in the period of late 80s when the TV was, you know, making an entry into many homes. So that time Swami used to be very strict about not watching TV at all. Swami would say, don't watch TV at all. So there was this student who was going on a vacation, and he took Swami's permission before going. So Swami said, okay, you know, go and come back. And Swami said very strictly, no watching TV, you know. When Swami says in a discourse and you're one among 300, okay, you can kind of, you know, it doesn't hit you so directly.
Maybe it's not meant for me, this message.
Right. But when Swami looks at you one to one and says that, you know, this is what you should do when you go for a vacation, it becomes very tough. But this boy was, you know, was very clear even before Swami told him that he's not going to do anything like that, because he knew that he had to come and face Swami, and, you know, it's better to keep a clean record when you have to do that. So this boy goes for vacation and he says, it was very easy for me to follow. Much later, this senior student shared this with me. He said, very easy to, for me to follow, because there was no TV at home. Right? Because it was not so common to have a TV at home. So there was no TV at home. So this person happened to visit one of his cousin's houses for 3 days, and they had a TV. Okay. So the moment he went there, he, you know, made up his mind that I should be very careful not to sit in front of the TV. So all the 3 days he stayed there, he managed not to see the TV. And on the day he was leaving, right, that day he was bidding farewell and he was leaving from that cousin's house, he was literally stepping out of the house with his luggage when somebody accidentally turned on the TV. Okay. And, you know, just that noise coming out suddenly, he turned and he looked, what was that? And he just thought, okay, it was the TV. And he picked up his luggage and walked out. And comes back to join the hostel, and Swami comes to him and Swami says, hey, did you follow my instructions? Okay, he said, yes, Swami. And, you know, he was saying that when you follow something which Swami has told you, that comes with a certain amount of ego, right? You know, I have followed what Swami has told me. So he had that pride in him and he said, yes, Swami, I followed. Swami said, no, you watch TV. So this boy started protesting. He said, no, Swami, how can you say that? I have not watched TV and I have really stuck to your instruction. Swami said, no, I know you watch TV. So he thought probably Swami was trying to, you know, that
shoot in the dark,
right, interrogation style look, saying that I know you say you did it. So he was like protesting, no, Swami, I've not watched. And then with a twinkle in his eye, Swami said, you saw TV for 1 second. And Swami, you know, smiled and Swami said, no, I just wanted to show you that I'm always with you. I'm very happy that you didn't watch. So, you know, that was something which Swami would tell constantly to students. And in Thrai Brindavan, I remember Swami telling many times, you know, when we used to, when you're about to go out on a vacation, Swami would say some of these things, that avoid, you know, watching too many things on TV and spoiling your mind. Swami would say, like, the hostel is like a garage. You all come here, I repair you, I put you in order. But the 2 months you go out for a vacation, you know, you bang all over the place and you come back, you know, to the garage needing all the repairs all over again.
You know, I was also thinking about why, see, though Swami has spoken against the television, you know that in the hostel also, for possibly on an average about half an hour to 1 hour a day, there is, we see the news, once in a week or once in a fortnight, there's a movie that is shown. So, unlike alcohol or smoking or non-vegetarianism, it's not like it's a strict no-no, yet Swami treats it with a kind of, you know, it's not a yes-yes also. The same thing about the internet, the same thing about movies, the same thing about technology. It's not as if you use technology, you get into Swami's bad books. But Swami is always, you know, careful when it comes to technology. I was wondering, why is it like that? It's, as I said, it's not in the yes-yes category, but it's not even in the no-no category like the other things. When I was thinking of it, the answer that got inspired in me was this. See, for God, from his perspective, this world itself is one big illusion. And our purpose in life is to recognize the illusion that this material world is and reach back to the source. Go beyond the illusory nature of the world to be able to see the truth which is common in all. Now imagine if we look at technology, social media, everything that we have today, the internet, television, computers, all of this is what we call as the virtual world. Now imagine, in the virtual world, we are entering into another virtual world. It makes it that much hard for us possibly to break out. It's like to wake up a sleeping person requires some effort. To break your dreams and wake you up into reality. Imagine if you're dreaming in a dream. Imagine you're dreaming that you're dreaming. it's like that, again, I will have to take a movie, Inception, where they talk of a dream in a dream in a dream, and the deeper you go, the more lost you are. I feel it's almost like that. Here, when we are in a world which we think is real, Swami has a task cut out in, you know, convincing us that it is not real, that this world what that you think is real itself is virtual. Now imagine we make this as the real world and then build in a virtual world, and then the shocking thing is, Prem, we enter that virtual world, and once we are in that world, it feels as real as the real world. So we are into a second layer of Maya, it's a deeper layer of Maya which is tougher to dig out. That's why I feel possibly, see, Swami also says don't get attached to the world. I feel in that sense even the world is like this, neither yes yes nor no no. Swami doesn't encourage you to go all out into the world. At the same time, he doesn't say world is rubbish, throw it out. Yeah, you need the world. At the same time, you know, the way Swami would say it, you be in the world, ensure that the world doesn't get into you. In that sense, so I feel this virtual world is also like that, because it takes us away from our ultimate goal of seeing the illusory nature of everything, because Swami wants us to see the illusion that exists in what we consider as real, but we are going in the opposite direction and trying to see what, trying to see reality in what is actually an illusion.
Absolutely, I think that's a very beautiful point that you made, and I think as we go through the points which Swami has made and what so many research has shown, that's what we will see now. That's what is, you know, the use of technology in the form of television, in the form of media is doing to us. And probably, to put it simply, you know, there are some objects like which the use of it itself is evil. But there are some other things which the misuse of it alone is evil. And I think media is one such thing where you can use it. You know, the reason why Swami would allow us to see, we would see about half an hour of news in the hostel. No, you can't be left behind in the world. You know, when there is a certain amount of connectivity in the world, and there is, you know, that defines your ability to a certain extent. Your ability to know what is happening around the world defines your ability in the society to an extent. So you can't compromise that completely. But at the same time, to stay abreast and to stay above this thing and say that, you know, this much is what is used and this much becomes misuse. But when you talk about intoxicants, Swami would say that very beautifully, you know, when you drink alcohol, Swami would say first you drink alcohol, then alcohol drinks alcohol, then alcohol drinks man.
Hmm.
Right? What Swami means by that is, after some time you are not there in your senses to decide how much of it I can consume. You have lost your choice making ability or your controlling ability. But it is, that is why it's important to read and, you know, learn more about this topic, because you know that this is capable of doing this much harm. So what is the distance I can keep away from it, and what is the prescribed distance that Swami has suggested, that even modern science and modern studies in psychology are coming to suggest that we should have a certain amount of disciplining in our interaction with these things.
So maybe we can begin with a short discourse clip. Dear listeners, we have actually taken most of the clips from just one or two discourses, and we have cut them into little clips so that we can see how though Swami speaks just one or two sentences, in those one or two sentences are hidden actually different aspects about television and possibly media in general. So possibly, Prem, we can begin by playing the first discourse clip, which will serve as an introduction.
ఈ మనస్సు బయట ఉన్నటువంటి ప్రకృతి దీన్ని ఆకర్షణ తన ఇదే చెప్పాడు సుబ్బారావు ఆకర్షణ దీన్ని ఒక విధమైన యొక్క ఆకర్షిస్తుంది
మైండ్ అట్రాక్ట్స్ ది ఔటర్ వరల్డ్ యాజ్ స్టేటెడ్ బై సుబ్బారావు
దీనికి సరైనటువంటి దృష్టాంతరం మీకు కావాలనుకున్నప్పుడు
ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ గుడ్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్
నిత్య జీవితంలో ఈనాటి యువకులు యువతులు ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను అనుభవించేటువంటి యొక్క ఆనందంలోనే ఈ యొక్క అంతరార్థం మీకు గుర్తించుకోవచ్చు
యు విల్ ఫైండ్ ఇట్ యాస్ ఇన్నర్ అండర్లైన్ కరెంట్ ఇన్ ది డైలీ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్ ఆఫ్ మెన్ అండ్ విమెన్
ప్రతి ఇంటి యందు కూడా ఈనాడు టీవీ ఉన్నది
ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ హౌస్ టుడే దేర్ ఇస్ టీవీ
ఇంకా శ్రీమంతులైనటువంటి వారికి కలర్ టీవీలు పెట్టుకుంటారు
రిచ్ పీపుల్ విల్ హ్యావ్ కలర్ టీవీ
ఇంకా శ్రీమంతులైనటువంటి వారికి స్టార్ టీవీలు పెట్టుకుంటారు
If they are still more rich enough, they will have star TV.
ఇది కేవలం ఒక డైనింగ్ హాల్లో మాత్రమే కాదు డ్రాయింగ్ రూమ్ లో కాదు బెడ్రూమ్ లో కూడా పెట్టుకుంటారు
They will install color TVs not only in the drawing room, they will have it in the dining hall and the bedroom.
TV ye naadu mana prapanchamlo prarambhamainavo aanaade manavuni yokka manasu malinyamaipoyindi.
The day when TVs started, the mind is polluted among in mankind.
So dear listeners, that was the first clip where Swami is concluding and saying that the pollution of the human mind has started getting accelerated with the advent of television. And the way Swami is referring to how people have TVs, the rich people have color TVs, the richest have satellite TVs, you know, of course Swami is saying Star TV, but by that he is referring to satellite television. It shows that that discourse was given possibly in the early 90s. Today if you look at that frame, it has gone into a more horrible situation, because there Swami is saying that people have not just one television, they possibly have it in the dining room also, they have one television in the bedroom also. Today if we actually look at how the term television has expanded to cover mobiles, tablets, phablets, computers, everything, it's like every person has one and possibly two television sets, you know, because there are people who own a mobile phone, who own a tablet, who own a computer and who own a television personally, if not at least one of these. So when Swami says that it's getting worse because the number it's increasing quantitatively, today I think we have exploded on that quantitative scale, because yeah, you are carrying a potential television, I'm carrying it, everyone around is carrying it, and we seem to carry it everywhere. We carry the this thing called the mobile phone, possibly into the bathroom, possibly to bed with us. We wake up, possibly as we are having food, in between board conferences, meetings, everywhere this television is there, spewing out information, whether it's necessary or not. But that is the extent of percolation and explosion of this media that has taken place.
Exactly. You know, if you just go back to what Swami was saying, Swami was telling about houses have television, not only in the living room, in the dining room, in the bedroom. You know, what Swami was actually referring to, I feel, in making those different points is, you know, the level to which the media becomes personal to you. Let's say the television is a medium through which the world enters your house. You know, when it is in your living room, it is there for the family. You know, it's a family room.
Like a guest, you know.
Right, it's a guest. And a guest who comes to the living room, everybody in the house knows who's the guest at the living room. But, you know, when it comes closer and closer to, as Swami is saying, the bedroom.
Dining room.
And when we talk about the television in our pocket, and that's how much personalized this guest is, and that's how much secret the guest becomes. You know, just that example of that wrestling, you know, episode that you narrated. Having a TV in the living room, you had to do all that with your mother, you know, sleeping in the bedroom. Now with the TV in your pocket, the TV becoming more and more personalized, the evils which Swami spoke of become even more, you know, very, very intense when you're talking about these devices. And you say that, you know, you have access to the media through these multiple devices and devices which cater only to you specifically.
And you know, one more facet, Prem, when I said that each statement by Swami, if you look in, it has so much of depth. Let's say 20 years ago, when I was talking of only two channels coming, you know, on the television. Let's say I had a television in the living room and in my bedroom. You know, it would be absolutely useless. Because when I go to bed at, say, 9:30 at night, there's nothing coming on the television. It's no use even if I have a television set in my bedroom. Because when I sleep, there's no program coming. You know, if I have a television set in my dining room, it's of no use, because at 6 p.m. the programs stop. I feel the other aspect that gets highlighted when we think about it a little deeper, is the fact that today we have something called time-shifted viewing. You know, where you need not actually be there for the program. Before, there used to be something called prime time. Today also it is there, but that prime time importance is getting eroded, because it doesn't matter when you actually air it. Let's take our own radio afternoon satsang, for instance, Prem. We have observed it that more than the people who listen to it live, we have 10 times more downloads and people listening to it offline at their own convenience and time. So when it comes to Swami's content and when it comes to noble thoughts, it's a blessing. So though we are broadcasting between 12:30 to 2 o'clock Indian time, it is different times in different parts of the globe and people are at different things and they may not be able to tune in. But doesn't matter, you just come and download and watch. The problem is everything is available like that now. So if I am hooked on or addicted to something, instead of, you know, before if I am addicted my cartoon, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, I remember, it would come only on Sunday at 9:30. And Sunday morning 9:30, if I miss it, it's gone forever, Prem, and there's nothing I can do about it, and other than wait for the next Sunday. Now it's no problem. I can go download it. I can wait for it to get over, download whole seasons of it, watch it over and over again. So I feel one is in terms of quantity, number of devices that has increased. But the other thing is the times of viewing have totally become so flexible in the name of freedom that they are actually eating away our total freedom and making us total slaves.
So if anybody who is listening is saying that Swami has said we should not watch TV, so we don't have a TV at home, we have only tablets and laptops and smartphones.
Defeats the purpose.
It defeats the purpose, because as we're seeing that, you know, what Swami was telling in reference to television is actually a much, much larger and much deeper problem today than it was when Swami was saying it. And you know, Swami was saying it with so much of vigor that time. Probably, you know, when people were listening to it, would not have been able to relate to it, because I still remember when I was in school, you know, between 5 and 6 in the evening, that's the time when you come back from school, they would have programs for farmers that time. You know, you would have the Doordarshan broadcasting something specifically for educating farmers.
Krishi Darshan.
Right. So you can't sit at home, you have to go out and play, right? So at that time when Swami is talking something about like this, and even when you're talking about satellite TV, the penetration was pretty limited. So when Swami was saying this, you know, that gives us an idea of how timeless what Swami was saying is, and you know, how important it is to listen to these discourses. It might have been delivered in 1970 or 1960 or 1990 for that matter, but these are very, very timeless. And I think it's important for elders, especially parents, to listen to these and to be able to relate it in context of today's world. Otherwise, you know, if you're going to play a discourse like this to a teenager of today, he will not be able to relate to it, because you're talking about television, which he has grown very far away from, right?
So in that sense, I feel instead of though Swami has used the word television, TV, I think instead of TV, we can replace that with AV. You know, any audio-visual device. Right. Yeah, because that's what it has become. Before, the only audio-visual device we knew was possibly television. Then came the computer, you know. After that, today it has proliferated into so many things. We have watches which are audio-visual devices now, you know, which do everything. So, I feel that as we go ahead in this satsang, whenever Swami is speaking of TV, I think we can just replace that word TV with AV in today's context, and it would make a lot of sense. Maybe now we can play the other discourse clip, the next discourse clip, because in this discourse clip, Swami speaks on the different harmful effects of television, and this clip is about 3.5 minutes long, and we will hear that, hear what Bhagwan has to say, and then continue along with our discussion.
టీవీలు ఏనాడు మన ప్రపంచంలో ప్రారంభమైనవో ఆనాడే మానవుని యొక్క మనస్సు మాలిన్యమైపోయింది.
ద డే విన్ టీవీస్ స్టార్టెడ్ ద మైండ్ ఈస్ పొల్యూటెడ్ అమంగ్ ఇన్ మ్యాన్ కైండ్.
మీరు చక్కగా యోచించండి, టీవీలు రాకమునుపు మన యొక్క మనో దౌర్బల్యం ఇంతగా ఉండేటువంటిది కాదు.
Prior to the installation of this TV, the mind was not that dirty. Never was the mind so impure, dirty. Prior to these days of TV, there were no bad actions. One in hundred, one in crore. Today we find TVs in huts also. What kind of effects you find in TV?
భోజనం చేసే సమయంలో కూడాను డైనింగ్ హాల్లో ఎదురుగా ఈ టీవీలు పెట్టుకుంటారు.
As they start eating in the dining hall, they will have TV in front of them.
చూస్తూ దీన్ని భుజిస్తుంటారు.
As they watch, they start eating.
భుజించేటువంటి ఆహారం కాదు.
It's not the food they eat.
ఆ టీవీలో చూసేటువంటి మాలిన్యమే వీడు భుజిస్తున్నాడు.
What exactly they eat is dirt. All concentration on the TV.
ఆ దృష్టి చేతనే సృష్టి మారిపోతుండాలి.
Because of that, the whole thing will be achieved.
ఎలాంటి చర్యలు, ఎలాంటి దృశ్యములు, ఎలాంటి భావములు మనం చూస్తున్నామో అలాంటి దృశ్యములు, అలాంటి భావములు, అలాంటి యొక్క దుశ్చర్యలే మనలో ప్రవేశిస్తున్నాయి.
As you watch the actions, the scenario and the feelings over there on TV, you will have them in turn.
కనుకనే మన లోపల తెలియని రీతిగా కూడా మనలో కొన్ని ఆవేదనలు, ఆవేశములు అనేక అభివృద్ధి అవుతున్నాయి.
సో అన్నోయింగ్లీ యు ఆర్ ఎజిటేటెడ్, యు ఆర్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్.
అది నీకు తెలియదు.
యు డోంట్ నో దాట్.
కానీ నేనేనాడు దీన్ని చింతించలేదే, ఇలాంటి భావాలు నాకు ఎందుకు రావాలని విచారిస్తాడు.
యు మే ఫీల్ దట్ యు నెవర్ ఎంటర్టైన్ సచ్ ఎ థాట్, బట్ హౌ ఇస్ ఇట్ దట్ యు హావ్?
కానీ ఈ దుశ్చర్యలు, ఈ దుర్భావములు, దురాలోచనలు ఆ టీవీలో చూసినటువంటి బీజంలే మన హృదయంలో నిలిచిపోయినాయి.
ఆల్ ది బ్యాడ్ యాక్షన్స్ అండ్ ఆల్ ది ఈవిల్ థాట్స్ ఆర్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్
అవన్నీ సమయాన్ని పురస్కరించుకుని తిరిగి అవి మొక్కలుగా వచ్చి నీలో ఇలాంటి భావాలంతా అభివృద్ధి పరుస్తూ ఉంటుంది.
విత్ ది పాసేజ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ టైమ్ దోస్ సీడ్స్ విల్ స్ప్రౌట్ అప్.
కనుక మనం భుజించే సమయం లోపల భయంకరమైనటువంటి విషయాలు మనం మాట్లాడకూడదు.
As we eat, we should never discuss horrible things.
ఒక ఉద్రేకకరమైనటువంటి విషయాలు కూడా మనం చింతించకూడదు.
We should never think of agitated matters.
మనం భోంచేస్తూ ఒకరికొకరు వాదోపవాదం చేయకూడదు.
As we dine, we should not argue with each other.
భోంచేసే లోపల సైలెంట్, కేవలం నిశ్శబ్దంగా భోంచేయాలి.
We should eat observing silence.
ఈ మాటల యొక్క తరంగములు కూడాను మన హృదయంలో ప్రవేశిస్తున్నాయి.
బికాస్ ద వేవ్స్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ సౌండ్స్ విల్ గెట్ ఇన్ టు యువర్ హార్ట్.
ఎలాంటి భావములు, ఎలాంటి తరంగములు మనలో ప్రవేశిస్తున్నాయో అలాంటి ఊహలే మనలో ఆవిర్భవిస్తున్నాయి.
బేసింగ్ ఆన్ ద వేవ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద సౌండ్స్ దట్ యు రిసీవ్, యు విల్ హావ్ ద థాట్స్ అకార్డింగ్లీ.
కనుక మనలో ఇలాంటి తరంగములను ఆవేశింపకుండా, ఆవిర్భవించకుండా ఈ విజ్ఞానమైన దృశ్యాన్ని మనం కొంతవరకు మర్చుకోవాలి.
దేర్ఫోర్ వీ షుడ్ సీ దట్ సచ్ వైబ్రేషన్స్ డు నాట్ ఒరిజినేట్ విత్ అస్.
So many points in there, you know, it becomes so difficult to try to explore all the different points that Swami said, but one or two that comes straight to our mind is where Swami is saying that instead of having your food, you are eating the junk that is being doled out by the television. Another point that Swami says is how important it is that when we eat food, we concentrate and focus only on eating food. And in fact, Swami says, not only about television, you don't even argue at that time. Don't fight. Don't talk about depressing matters. Don't talk about frustrating matters. Because the vibrations of your sound get carried and feed you also. You know, that makes it very clear that when we feed, it is not just the gross body that's being fed. There's also our subtle body, our mental body, our aura that is being fed. And it's important that as we ensure the cleanliness of the food, we wash off all the pesticides, we clean it, we cook it to ensure that there is no poison in the sthula food, in the gross food. We also have to ensure that in the vibratory level also, there is no poison, there is no junk. And in that context, Swami says one more reason why you shouldn't be interested in television. But you know, at this point, the countering argument that can arise is that I'll watch only good things on television, and even if I watch something that is, say, not so good, for example, if I'm watching an action movie, somebody is gunning down somebody, I know that it's a illusion, I know it's just for entertainment, I'm just watching for entertainment, how on earth will it influence me? I think we are wrong in thinking so, because even though we know that something going on in that television is wrong in the sense is not true, it is just for entertainment, at the same time when that person comes with a gun on the television, definitely my heart is beating faster, definitely I am feeling that kind of a void in my stomach, I am feeling those sensations in reality, though I am conscious that it's only entertainment, it's an illusion. The feelings that are arising within me are as real can be. And in fact, science has found a reason for this. Science says that there are two parts of our brain, the higher brain and the lower brain. The lower brain is what we share in common with all the animals. It's also part of the limbic system. It's also called the reptilian brain. And it is said that the lower brain responds the way an animal brain would respond. An animal can't make out what's going on TV is wrong or not. If there is a ferocious dog barking on the television, your pet dog will start barking at the dog on television. And that's how our lower brain will respond. Though our higher brain knows that this is false, this is an illusion, our lower brain is responding to it, getting modified by it also. And that is why though we know that it is not real, though we know it's only for entertainment, there is an impact happening at an unconscious level, and it is more dangerous because it's happening at an unconscious level.
Exactly. I was going through another study which they were saying, you know, when you watch TV for a longer period of time, they say that your brain goes into something called an alpha state or something. And that's almost like
zoning out.
Right. It's almost like the stage of an infant's mind, right, which becomes very, very receptive. And it's almost hypnotic, that state of the mind, where after some time, you don't choose what goes into your, you know, brain. You become super receptive and you kind of take everything that comes in. And the other thing which the same study they were saying is, you know, when you're watching something, as you're saying, when there is a violent scene happening in the movie, or there is something which is very thrilling happening, or something scary happening, you kind of feel that sensation within yourself. What they were saying is, you know, when the brain kind of senses something like that happening, we all know that it triggers off that flight or fight response, you know, where the brain starts reacting for a stressful situation. But there's another part of your mind which is logical, which says that, come on, you're just watching a TV. It's not you. Just what the argument that you're saying, that you know that this is not real. And they said, actually, there's another part of the brain which is giving you this information that what you're watching is not real. So don't react. Don't really cry, or, you know, don't really get spooked by what you're seeing. But they said that, you know, the brain actually goes into this in a sequence, you know, the flight and fright response. And this response of the brain saying that this is not real. So
the logical response.
Logical response. And this actually creates a kind of a confusion that they say that when you are in a real situation, the brain, without, you know, without you wanting to do that, goes into this cycle of response automatically. When you're really in a stressful situation or a flight or fight situation, your mind, without your knowledge, goes into this cycle of, you know,
is it real or is it not?
Real or is it not real? No, it's not real. Don't react to it. It's a very, very dangerous thing. And they say that one of the places where this response actually shows up is probably when you're driving in traffic. You know, that's the time when you don't respond to that stressful situation, because your mind goes off into the cycle of whether it's real or not real, you know, kind of scenario.
See, there's no doubt that we are getting manipulated. For example, I know that every advertiser who comes on television and advertises the product is doing it with some other motive. It's not that whatever they are saying is the truth. I know it. I know that advertising, and added to it, you know, when I flash around my MBA degree in marketing, yes, I pride myself of knowing the marketing techniques, and yes, there is a way. They possibly may not be lying, but they are just hiding the drawbacks and just highlighting the so-called good. In spite of knowing all this, Prem, I am influenced. If you look at my choices in day-to-day products, whether it's my soap, whether it's my deodorant, whether it's the cereals I buy, they are in a large way influenced by the commercials that I watch. And you know, there was this other interesting site I came across, where they were showing that if you consider your lifespan of about 75 years, and if you watch television for, say, about 2 hours every day, you would have spent 6 years of your life watching televisions.
Mm-hmm.
And if it happens to be like the normal programming that goes on our televisions, in those 6 years, 2 years are just advertisements. What we consider as time wasters and absolutely of no use, 2 years of our 75-year life, which is almost 4%, 4% of our life we are sitting and watching absolute nonsense, which is possibly not true, and yet, because of which we get influenced to do that. So, definitely at an unconscious level, though at a higher level we are conscious that, see, all this is false, all this is not happening, at an unconscious level we are getting affected. In fact, I was reading this book by, you know, our school, now he has shifted to the university, physics teacher, Dr. Sailesh Srivastava.
Mm-hmm.
He has written a very fantastic book, a small book. It's called Swami, Guruji and I. You know, it's beautiful in terms of his experiences. But at the end of the book, he has put in a few of his thoughts. And one thought, I feel, is very relevant here. He says that people watch junk on TV. People read junk in magazines. People read such kind of novels. And they say, come on, it's only for entertainment. It's not real. But you know, like an interactive video game, when you're playing a video game which is interactive, though the video game is false and illusory, the response you get from the game depends on what you do. Your life, your choices in the game decide your outcome. If you're playing a game of going and shooting down somebody, in the game if you choose to expose yourself, you will get shot. And though it's just a game, when you get shot in the game, it feels as real as... You know, the other day I saw one of the kids playing on the game and a mom was calling out and saying, what is this, what is this? She was going on trying to get that child's attention. And finally the child says, Mom, what did you do? You killed me. No, mom didn't kill. He just died in the video game. But that's as real can be. So what Silas sir has written beautifully in the book is, for God the world is like that. You know, it is an illusion, it's an interactive game. But just like an actual video game, in this interactive game called life also, the things that we face and what we get depends on what we input. And so, Silas says that if you say that I am just watching all this violence, I am watching all this junk, it doesn't matter for me because I know that it's all unreal. The same kind of violence, same kind of junk happens to you in your so-called real life. And nature will be saying that, come on, this is also an illusion. The sum total message that he's trying to give there is, unless you become a true Advaitin, where you see no difference between gold and dung, where everything is the same, where life and death are same, where light and darkness are same, you've gone beyond duality. Till that happens, you have no right to say that this is just entertainment, I know it's an illusion. You don't know it's an illusion. Because when the same thing happens to you, you forget that it's an illusion. So therefore, as long as you have the dual mindset and you're in the dual world, you better stick to good and bad, and you avoid watching bad, see only good, see no evil, see what is good, do no evil, do what is good, hear no evil, hear what is good. All that becomes relevant because we are all very much an integral part of the dual world.
And when you're talking about a spiritual journey, when whatever we speak here, whatever we discuss here as part of the afternoon satsang or on the radio is with the idea that, you know, we all are trying to lead a spiritual life. And whenever Swami speaks about spiritual life, Swami will always talk about, you know, becoming a person who has mastered the mind, you know, who is not a slave to the mind, slave to the senses. And the only thing which we see through all these studies is, you know, it just undermines your, you know, ability to be on top of your mind, to be in control of your mind. Because even when you're talking about the difference between television and the other type of media, you know, one argument which we might come up with is, you know, when it was only a television and probably three channels or four channels, you had to consume what was given to you. So there the chance of, you know, you may being made to consume what...
You passively eating whatever comes.
Whatever comes. But now I have the choice. I see what I want to see. I don't see other things. But I think there is nothing which is more untrue like that because of the, you know, the subtle ways in which you're being manipulated through all of this. And dear listeners, when we're saying this, we don't mean that it doesn't happen to you, to us, it's happening only to you. Because whenever you go through all of these studies, you can literally see yourself in the mirror and say that that's exactly what's happening to me. As you said, you know, be it with the products that you buy, or be it with, in fact, talking about marketing, there's one, you know, tool which they say, you know, top of the mind marketing or something
top
like that.
Top of the mind awareness, yes.
Awareness, you know, you just keep hitting the person with the brand name, that even if that person does not, you know, suppose I go on listening to a certain brand name for a laptop, probably I'm not going to buy a laptop, but if somebody is coming and asking me, you know what, I want to buy a laptop, what do you think is a good, even without knowing, I'll suggest that brand name, because it's top of my mind, because it's been already always told to me. So similarly, many of these things which you think that we are choosing, I am choosing to see this, I am choosing not to see this, it is also manipulated because many of the shows which we see also are literally like decided by our peers. Now somebody will come and say, are you watching this TV series? Are you not watching?
If you're not watching, you're missing out.
You're missing out on something. So many of these things, it really draws you inside. And after a point of time, as we said, after a long period of viewing, you are not really in a mental state to choose what you want to see and what you don't want to see. And, you know, even a normal scene, because being here in Radio Sai, we work with a lot of media. We try to make videos which will be appealing to people. So if you want to make something which has to convey a certain message, there are a lot of inputs you put into it. The colors that you choose, the lighting that you choose, the kind of costumes that the person is wearing when he's conveying a certain message. So when you know that all of these things have to be taken care when you want to send a message, dear listeners, I think we have to keep in mind that when you're watching something, somebody has sat behind and thought of all of these things and made that media which you're watching and consuming. So all of this is subtly hitting you without your knowledge. So there is no way of you sitting and choosing what you want and leaving out what you don't want.
Absolutely. I think when you say about top of mind awareness, this was possibly the idea of our great sages when they gave us Namasmarana, saying whether you understand or not, whether you know it or not, just chant the name of the Lord, because in times when it matters, it will come and stand by you. That is precisely what is being misused here. It's like whether they understand it or not, just bombard them with that, because when the time of reckoning comes, this is what will come up. You know, this is so important, because I often used to wonder at the huge advertisement expenditures of some companies, some cola companies, the amount they spend, it's just set aside every year. And if you actually look into the research, there is no correlation between increasing advertisement spend and increasing revenues. It's just that your competitor has increased the revenue for advertisement, you have to increase. Because it's all about grabbing that, you know, space uppermost in your mind. If you don't get that uppermost space in the mind, you are losing out. So, in that sense, this TV or AV media that we see is really creating a havoc. In fact, I was reading about one study which said that in the United States of America, once again, dear listeners, most of our examples will be from United States of America, not because we are degrading United States of America, but because it's possibly the nation with the maximum amount of research on anything. You know, the research is available. So in that research, they're saying that an average American subjected to half an hour of 1 hour of television more per day ends up spending $250 more. Simply nothing. Forget what he's watching or what she's watching or how long or what time of the day. Nothing matters. Just ensure that he or she watches on an average 1 hour more per day. You can be assured that on an average they will spend $200 to $250 more per month. Wow. Doesn't that show? I mean, I feel that is the reason why these companies that I spoke about don't see any kind of seeing whether it actually matters or not. I just have to ensure that they are hit more by it. So they will go and sponsor all kind of events anywhere, because number of times I hit them, that's all that matters for me.
Now, whenever we talk about spiritual life, we've done a lot of discussions about how you kind of isolate yourself from what you're forced to believe in. Like living in the society, everybody is doing a certain kind of a thing, and then you kind of forced to believe that I will not be happy till I'm also doing the same thing. I will not be happy till I'm having that same lifestyle. You know, all of these things we say that spiritually you have to remind yourself all happiness comes from within, and you know, what Swami says that all of this that happens around you is only triggering the happiness coming from inside. And when you talk of this kind of what television and all this media does to you, it's only that, you know, how many times it multiplies this effect. You know, what you would have had your neighbor buying a new car do to you is happening to you every day when you're watching TV, when you're watching these advertisements and you're told that, you know, this is what it is to live a cool life. This is what it is to have a sophisticated lifestyle, an extravagant lifestyle. You know?
Absolutely. It's getting magnified, because I think the famous phrase was living up to the Joneses or something like that, you know, right. Which meant that whatever your neighbors have, you must have. But today the whole world has become Joneses for you. You know, sitting in India, I am coveting some guy living in the United States. How? That's because that has been brought to me in the name of globalization. Yes, they have their pluses. As I said, it is there. But the adverse effect also comes in. It has it has brought up that. In fact, there is this National Institute of Child Health in the United States, which keeps doing research on precisely that, and child health. And child health is not just the physical health. Today, if you see, they have become more of a psychological research kind of organization, because they have found out that more damage to the child's health is not happening on the physical front, because once you're in an advanced country, at least physically you are kept safe from most of the diseases that come. Mm-hmm. But a lot of health damage is happening on the mental and psychological front. And they have seen that because of the influence of A-rated movies, A-rated shows, adult films, which turn into an obsession and addiction very soon, it has greatly increased teenage pregnancy, proliferation of STDs, licentious behavior, licentious thoughts, which go into licentious words, which result in licentious behavior. Multiple partners, open partners, things that were inconceivable possibly 40 years ago have become part of day-to-day living today, part of day-to-day dialogue today. Everybody speaks as if there's nothing big about it. There would have been a time when all this would have been considered taboo. In the name of freedom of expression, it has come to such a manner that it has increased. And they say that definitely it has got to do with the audiovisual media that is being bombarded on all the people.
Right. I think it's been a very, very heavy discussion. We'll take a short break. We'll just play a small bhajan. But probably when we come back, we'll just talk a little more before we go ahead about Swami mentioning specifically about watching TV while eating food. Probably we'll just emphasize that a little more because Swami specifically mentioned that. And, you know, when you talk about removing yourself from some of these influences, as we mentioned in the beginning, it's very difficult to bring it to zero at one shot. But there are certainly ways by which we can control it and we can discipline ourselves. And probably one practical way is what Swami was mentioning about not watching TV while eating food. So we'll talk about that a little, but after a short break. So dear listeners, don't go away. We'll continue after this short bhajan.
Thank you.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We were talking about the effects of television in our mind and what Swami has said about it. As we said, before we took a break, we had a short discussion. And before that discussion, we played a small clip where Swami was talking about the evil influences, especially when you watch TV while you're eating food. So we thought it's a very practical place to start with, you know, instead of saying that let's completely stop looking at displays and screens altogether, at least we can try and refrain from doing that during certain periods or doing when we're doing certain activities, like while watching TV, because Swami says that when while having food, because that's one time when Swami said that along with eating food, you know, it's a lot of things get into your system when you are doing other things along with eating food. Because Swami would say this about a lot of things. It's not just about television. As Swami was himself saying that while you're eating food, you should be calm, you should be peaceful, and if possible, not even get into an argument and discussion while eating food. To eat in silence is a very, very important thing. And we know certainly in our hostels that used to be happening, because I remember one of our lecturers saying that one day he was standing in the lobby of the hostel, and a stranger just walked into the hostel. It was in Vrindavan. I mean, a totally new person. He's come to the ashram for the first time. Swami was not in the ashram. So he looked around and he walked into the hostel. And he started asking about Swami and in the university and all that. And this person was telling about Swami's philosophy of education. So this person did not seem convinced. He said, I mean, this seems too impractical in today's world. Hmm. You know, how can you discipline students like this? How can you tell students to behave like this? And how do you expect them to comply? Right? And I remember sir pointing to the dining hall from the lobby in Vrindavan. It's just across. Right?
Uh-huh.
And he said, will you believe me if I tell you that right now 300 students are sitting in that hall and eating food? And, you know, that was one thing enough to seal the argument, because that person could not believe, because it was so silent. There were 300 students sitting there and being served and all of them eating at the same time. And there was not a single whisper which was heard, which was just about a few yards away from where they were standing. Because that was a discipline which Swami was very particular about. And Swami was saying that while you're eating food, the kind of thoughts that you think, the very idea that you chant Brahmarpanam before you eat your food, is because you think of God before you start eating food. And when you finish your food, you thank God for the food that you had. Because what you think and what you consume along with your food is so very important.
Absolutely. In fact, when you say about eating food, I'm reminded the other day for a video that will possibly be coming out soon in the future. I was working on the video edits. And this was the video of Bhagwan's visit to Kodaikanal in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
So there has been the student who carried a handycam along with him, and he has just shot randomly. Technically, the footage is not so great, but the content is invaluable. And in that, there is one session where Swami is speaking on precisely this topic, you know, about speaking while eating. In fact, the topic begins by Swami saying that, see, there are so many bad habits that people unknowingly indulge in.
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami starts off by saying, all people are having food. One person is not having food. Why? Because he has got a stomach upset or whatever. If somebody asks, why are you not having food? He can just say that, you know, it's fine, I'm happy with this, it's okay. That much he can say. Instead of that, he will say, I'm getting vomiting, I have loose motion. And Swami says, it spoils the mood of everyone around. And literally, I have seen this happen many times. If dirty things are spoken about, things which are actually dirty, what we consider as gross, if they're spoken about, people actually throw up when having food. See, that is the kind of, I'm just quoting this example to show that there is directly an impact. I used to always wonder why. Let me talk about any rot. Let me talk about decomposed stuff. But you're eating food, it's only talk, right? But no. The mind has the ability to see through illusion and see reality, at the same time to create an illusion that is as real as reality. So that is why in that informal session to the student, Swami is saying, so therefore it should not be spoken like that. In fact, Professor Anil Kumar is sitting there and he's translating what Swami is saying. Swami also says that you should not talk anything unpleasant. In fact, Swami says in this aspect, Westerners are very good. He says that if you go and if there's some food that they don't like, if you ask them how is it, They will say, very good, very beautiful, very beautiful. That's what Swami was saying. They will say, later on they will come and say, actually no, that I don't want much, you know, please excuse me, I don't want to have it. Seeing that is something you should learn, because when everybody is having food, you should not say, yuck, this is not tasty, this is horrible, this is... No, because it taste is for the tongue, and Swami says it varies from people.
Mm.
You are horribly describing something that might be the favorite of somebody sitting there, and it often happens, you know. Brinjal is one vegetable like that, you know. You can't be neutral about a brinjal. You either love it or hate it. At least in the hostel, it's like that. People either hate the brinjal or love the brinjal, the eggplant. So therefore, Swami says you should not. You should learn that. And in that context, Swami continues to say, he says that an episode that happened in a nearby village, I forgot the name, he names the village.
Right.
And he says that...
I think Brahmanapalli, right? This is
no, I don't think it's Brahmanapalli. Nearby, right. Yeah, nearby only, that's what Swami... maybe Brahmanapalli. But Swami mentions a village that is close by Puttaparthi.
Which is very familiar to us. Right.
Correct. And Swami says that in the village, they put cow dung water as a kind of disinfectant. And Swami said that there was this lady who was sprinkling cow dung water in front of her home. And she happened to put this in front of the neighbor's home also. So the neighbor came and said, how dare you get into encroach onto my land and do all this, you stick to your place. Basically, Swami says that one on another, they keep talking, and that argument develops into a severe verbal volley. In the meanwhile, the infant sleeping in one of the huts begins to cry. It begins to cry. And Swami says that this lady rushes into her hut, gets the picks up the infant and puts it to her bosom, starts feeding, but she is not done with this fight. And Swami says that she comes out and continues to fight with this woman. And Swami says, even as she fought, that baby that was at her bosom just passed away. And you know, there's a kind of horror and shock. Swami says, yes, it died. Because anger is a poison. And if that is consumed, a baby is very tender, it can die. It died. And when Swami narrated this, Swami said, that is why I say, don't allow this poison to poison your food. We think only potassium cyanide is poison in the food, or benzyl chloride is poison in the food. But no, our poisonous thoughts are poison in the food. Anger, frustration, sorrow, irritation. See, it is no wonder that, you know, Swami brought this rule about silent eating in the hostel. I feel if you want to maintain peace in the hostel, one of the strongest way to do it is to ensure that there is peace while you are having food. Because Swami used to say, jaise ann vaise man, meaning as is the food, so is your thoughts. So if you are peaceful, if the peace is going in, that is what will radiate in later life in the hostel as well. So, I mean, I don't think we can overemphasize the fact that while having food, we need to maintain this especially pure. So therefore, even if we say we can't give up television completely, can we cut away from audiovisual devices at least while having food?
No, I remember two occasions when Swami specifically mentioned this.
Mm.
There was one group of youth whom Swami called for an interview.
Mm.
And, you know, Swami was talking to them and Swami was giving many instructions and all that. And suddenly Swami kind of broke from the flow of thought which he was narrating. And he said, you know, boys, I'm telling you so many things, but there is one thing you have to follow. You know, whether you follow the other things which Swami says or not, this one thing please do follow. Literally, Swami was, you know, saying it like a request.
Mm.
And so all these boys were all ears, and they said, okay, Swami is giving some one principle of Swami's message, which is like, you know, everybody has to follow. And Swami said this. Swami said, while eating food, don't watch TV. You know, that was the amount of emphasis Swami gave for this particular discipline which Swami wanted us to follow. And the other occasion I remember was one of my classmates when he got an interview.
Mm.
You know, Swami called him for an interview with his parents. And in that interview, Swami took his mother to task. Swami said, you've really done a very bad thing in bringing up your son. And, you know, she was very surprised because what is this one particular thing Swami is referring to? And then Swami started describing the sequence of events which would happen when this boy comes back from school. Swami said, this boy will come back at 4:30, and that time you'll be waiting at home. You would have made some tiffin and you'll be waiting. As soon as he comes, you'll switch on the TV and you will remove his shoe and you will take his bag and, you know, you will not let him, you'll let him just sit there and watch the TV. You will do all this and then get food for him and then feed him right in front of the TV. And this is how you spoil the son. This is really, really bad. And, you know, this really tells us that, you know, as parents, especially bringing up little children, we really take to this easy route of, especially when it comes to feeding our children, because we all know that, you know, the child has to be distracted sometimes when it is fed. And we know when we were kids, the stories of showing the moon and showing the bird and, you know, telling that so-and-so is coming and tell some random story and feed the kid. Now it's become all the more easy because you just switch on the TV and let the, and feed the child, or give the child something like a mobile phone or an iPad, and then silently
go to YouTube and just
right. And I remember one of my family friends used to do that. There was this, their kid was very fascinated about just advertisements. So they had a video cassette of all the advertisements recorded. And every time the kid would eat, they would put only these advertisements which would be in a loop and feed the kid. Now, all these practices, how really harmful it is, you know, from what Swami is saying.
See, you see, Prem, they say that when you have food, you should have, I don't know if I remember all, but something like Patra Shuddhi, Padartha Shuddhi,
Pak Shuddhi.
Pak Shuddhi, meaning the vessel in which it is cooked should be pure. The vegetable that we have procured must be pure. The feeling of the person growing the vegetables must be pure. The person cooking the food must be pure. Then only is the food pure. And Swami would say it becomes very difficult to maintain all this. Therefore, do Brahmarpanam. Now we have introduced one more medium of bringing impurity. I'm saying this because people might wonder, what's wrong if I make my, you know, child watch? It's after all a cartoon on an iPad and the child is silent and eating. You know, so many things go in. Even in a cartoon, there's something called subliminal marketing, mm-hmm. where at a conscious level, there's no marketing going on. But definitely watching that leads to some kind of desired effect of the marketeer. See, that is the reason why all these have become huge, commercial hits. I'm not pointing out particularly, but be it Harry Potter or Lion King or Ice Age, anything that's meant for kids, it becomes a huge merchandising in itself. Why? Because that's what is being grown. You know, Swami would say, he would say it in terms of nursery rhymes. He would tell that children would be taught Shuklam Bharadaram Vishnum, about Vishnu, Ganesha, Vakratundama, and today you say bae bae black sheep. You know, instead of getting love towards Krishna, you get love towards what? The Lion King, Simba? I mean, yeah, it's cute and nice, but what is the difference? You know, that is what is happening. And you know, Prem, I feel this thing about eating and watching TV is so tough personally for me, because if I, you know, honestly and open up my heart and think, in a day, if I watch about 1 hour or 1.5 hour of television, in that 40-45 minutes is when I eat only. In fact, I seem to particularly enjoy watching it when I'm eating. And the other way also. You know, when I'm watching, I feel like eating. When I'm eating, I feel like watching. Well, and at home, the first thing gets exhibited, where when I'm eating, I feel like I should watch and, you know, just shift through National Geographic. And what I watch is something like the plains of Africa, lions hunting other animals or crocodiles, some nature kind specific or some mega structures. Mostly Discovery, National Geographic, but I'm noticing now, even as I speak, I'm realizing that I tend to watch it when I'm eating. And the other case, when I go to specifically watch, say in case of a movie, the movie will not even be quarter way through. I want some chips, I want some popcorn. It's like we are getting more and more tuned to it. When I'm eating, let me watch something. When I'm watching, let me eat something. That's why, dear listeners, as Prem said, it's not as if we are giving a sermon from top of a mount. Even as we go through all this, we are realizing the multiple drawbacks that exist in us.
Right, and that's why it's always safe, at least when you're in Parthi, please eat in the canteen. At least that much, you know, you're saved from watching TV. But, you know, one thing to be fair, all of these media, be it cartoons, especially for kids, there's always a certain amount of goodness behind it. And definitely there is, because I was once reading about this cartoon which is very famous when we were kids, Popeye. I think even now it's famous. You know, they have this typical narrative there where the lead character, Popeye, eats a can of spinach and, you know, gets strong. I mean, I was reading about how this characterization came to be. Apparently they were doing a scientific study and giving the nutrient values of different kind of foods that we consume. Right, a typical study which generally they do. Apparently, because of some typographical error, they inflated the figure which gave spinach, a huge amount of edge over the other food items, especially when it came to irons or something like that.
Hmm.
You know, instead of being in a few hundreds, it ended up showing a few thousands.
I think they got a decimal point wrong or something like that.
A decimal point wrong or a zero extra or something like that. And because these people wanted to convey this idea that eating spinach is good for you, they ended up creating a character who becomes, you know, extremely strong by eating a can of spinach. Because the same technique is used even when you want to convey something good. But so it is very important for us to remember that, you know, a lot of things go in, just not the good. As you said, there is no possibility nowadays to choose what really goes in.
You know, absolutely. Because till you were mentioning about this, I was still thinking that spinach is very high in iron content. And even as you mentioned this, I remembered reading up an article which says that, yes, spinach does have iron, but it's not as awesome as it's shown to be there. You know, that's how it happens. And, you know, when coming back to this children things, one important subtle effect, which we definitely have to discuss, because people say that we are not showing them danger, we are not showing them violence, we are showing them cartoons, we are showing them funny animals. Even if we show them tigers, lions, they're all cute and nice. And there was this research study, there were multiple research studies have been done about media and children.
Mm-hmm.
I will just quote one or two of them. One of them, first I will bring this, is they say that the amount of stimulation that a child gets,
mm-hmm,
is so high in the audiovisual medium that it begins to have an unrealistic expectation of the real world. And here I'm talking the dual world, so therefore when I say real world, I'm meaning the earth as the real world. So they observed that a child enjoys a visit to a farm in a television serial, enjoys it thoroughly, but finds the actual farm boring. Because guess what? The cows are not bouncing around, the dog is not flying in the air, there's no music background, there are no fast cuts and edits. It is so slow and boring. See, this is what happens, where you are cut off from reality, and though you think that it is safe in the sense that there is no violence going on, there is no such kind of black things going on, at an unconscious level, things are happening which leads later to the same child having an absolute lack of attentiveness. They have found that kids that have been exposed to audiovisual medium before the age of 3 extensively, and especially in the situation that you narrated of about while feeding, you know, just to keep them occupied, show them something. Basically, when you distract with a bombardment of audiovisual media, that amount of stimulation now becomes necessary for me to eat. Without the iPad, the child just doesn't eat. You know, the iPad becomes more greater than hunger. I may be hungry, I will cry, but I will not eat till you put on the iPad. And as I said, they found this experiment happening in real time, where the child is enjoying the video of a farm on the iPad or on their device, but find an actual visit to the farm boring and drab.
Actually, this is a point probably we'll have to talk a little more on, you know, how it alters our idea of reality. And how it is very different when you're talking about infants, when you're talking about toddlers. And the effect is definitely there on us, which we can see. We'll talk about that, because I mean that is one of the most important things which we can see in this evil which we are talking about. And especially for parents, how do they kind of discipline their children when you're talking about these things? Because there are ways of countering it. You know, you can't, as we said, completely refrain children from indulging in this kind of TV viewing and consuming media, but there are ways by which you counter it. Like as you were saying, the very typical example of that child going to the farm and feeling bored, it can only be countered by taking the child more often to the real places rather than showing it on, you know, giving them a virtual tour of that. But, you know, this really becomes very, very important when you're talking about child upbringing. It's a completely different thing altogether. And of course, as you said, it all starts from we doing it. And even as we're talking about it, do we follow it? Do we really, you know, not see TV while eating food? As you said, we ourselves have a really long way to go. And I think that's where we really have to start ourselves.
On a related note, Prem, I was just thinking that just like how we have even though we can't say that this is the only time I'll watch TV, at least we are coming up with a time when we're saying this is the time at least I won't watch TV. And as we began this discussion, we discussed how television has expanded from just what used to be called as the idiot box into everything now. You know, you can't call it an idiot box because it's no longer a box anymore. It's a thin flat screen. It's a computer screen. It's your mobile screen. It's an iPad. It's your tablet screen. So everything.
Right. I think 10 years later, there's going to be no screen. It's going to be just projection in thin air right in front of you.
You know, okay, on that note, you know, I was seeing this latest gadget, which is just like a stick. You know, it's a stick. And there are two buttons on it. You press one button, it projects a screen on the wall or anywhere you want. The other button projects a keyboard onto whatever. And you are typing on your desk, on your paper, on your file, anything. And it's happening over there. So as you rightly said, it's going to become more and more pervasive. Therefore, I feel just like it's important that we discuss a time when we will not be influenced by the television. For example, while eating food, we will not see TV. I feel we'll have to extend it not only to TV but to AV now. You know, during food, no mobile, no tablet, no nothing, you know. And is it possible that in the day we build up a little more times like this, other than just the meals time, some more times where it will be a AV free time?
Right. So one thing which probably we'll have to talk about, as we said, is about this alternate reality being created for us. That is one thing we'll talk about. The other thing which we talk about is, you know, when we say that when you're eating food, it's not just about eating food. There was another talk I was saying that, you know, the increasing number of people who are engaged in their mobile phones when a meeting is going on, you know, that is on the increase. In the classrooms, you know, in the West, it's becoming a big issue of children being allowed to bring their iPads and phones and, you know, all of those things. And, you know, interacting with these gadgets even as a class is going on, even as you're supposed to be sitting and discussing something, how much it is taking us away from social interactions and how that is affecting us. Because for millions of years, you know, millions may be an exaggeration, but for hundreds of thousands of years, man has grown as a species which lives in a society which, you know, grows as a society. And that is how man has really lived for so many years. And suddenly you're bringing in this break of making ghettos where, you know, each individual is living in their own world, surrounding themselves with this virtual world, and how much that is affecting our society. I think that's another thing which we'll have to talk about.
We will definitely have to talk about it because there's a lot to talk about that. You know, if I can summarize what you said, if not making a person antisocial, all this is definitely making a person at least asocial, you know. I mean, man is supposed to be a social animal. So, dear listeners, the time in our studio shows 1:52. So, I don't think all these aspects in detail we'll be able to go through this week. Along with the few other discourse clips that we have of Bhagwan, we will continue with the same theme in the next Thursday satsang also. Because there is a lot to convey, possibly as a teaser to what is coming next week. Now, I'll just quote one more research. Very interesting, Prem. It was saying, it is related to this week and therefore it can form a bridge between this week and next week's discussion, is to why it is so important about AV to children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we spoke about children right now and why it is so more important to children. Is because they say that our years of upbringing has given us a kind of perspective. Now, when I watch television, they show a wide-angle shot. Then they zoom into the building. Then they go in the building, they show the room, the hero and somebody talking. I know that this is happening in New York City, possibly in that hotel, in that place they're talking. This is because of my experience and I also know what it means to zoom in. I know so many things. I take all these for granted, but I know all that and therefore I'm able to make sense of it. But for a child, it'll just be three different things. You know, it doesn't make sense. Like, for example, they did a survey where they put a picture of a popcorn on the television and they asked what would happen if they bent the screen. And all of them answered that the popcorn will fall out. Well, none of us will say that because we know it will not fall out. See, they say that is why it is so important that at a young age, they be screened away from it. Because it changes. And the actual study that they did was, there was this room, just like this studio room over here, in which they built a television-sized window. So one group of kids were made to observe what's happening in the room from the window, while the other group of children were given a HD feed mm-hmm. of an edited footage.
Okay.
And what happened in the room was actually there were three puppets in the room. These three puppets move around in the room and go and hide behind a shelf or something that is in the room. That was the end. So, one set of kids are watching it in an edited high definition video. The other kids are watching it on a television sized window on the same room. They are mm-hmm. watching it. At the end of it, both these groups were brought and they were let in. And the children were told to find where the puppets are. They said that 100% of the kids who watched it through the window were able to go and locate the puppet, while none of the kids who watched possibly a close-up, a greater detailed video of the same, were able to locate the puppets. Because for them it was discrete scenes. Each cut is a discrete thing. The way they process information is so different from the way we process. Possibly if I had watched the video, I can go and directly tell, this was a wardrobe, behind this wardrobe the puppets are there. But that's not the way a child processes it. Therefore, unconsciously, we are changing the way a child views the world. We are changing the perceptions of the children. So, that is a dramatic and drastic effect that is happening. Again, it's dangerous because it's happening at an unconscious level.
I'm reminded of another study which I heard about. They asked children what happens when you run off a cliff, right? You know, you're running and suddenly that's the end of the land and you just run off the cliff. They asked the children what happens. And most of those children, they said you stop midair, then you look down and then you fall. Because that's how it happens in Tom and Jerry.
Or any other cartoon,
any
yes.
other cartoon.
See, I feel, you know, again, coming back to what we said in the introduction, that this is dangerous because our objective in life is to get out of the virtual into the real. Instead of that, we are creating another virtual within the virtual.
Right.
See, when I watch the cartoon where the thing walks off the cliff and then looks down and falls, I know that it is false. So in the same way, I feel unless I am a Advaitin, unless I have realized, then nothing can affect me. But as long as I am part of the dual world, however wise I might think I am, at an unconscious level, this effect is happening. Just like this kid who answered that when you walk off a cliff, you don't fall down immediately, but you stay in midair as long as you don't realize that you have run off the cliff.
You know, but that point which you said about reality, and of course, talking about a concept like that, you have to refer to Inception, the movie, you know. Because in that movie, there is that concept of a totem, right? You know, when you go into multiple dream levels, they say that at a point you don't realize whether you're in a dream or you're in reality. So they have this object called a totem, which could be anything, which is, you know, something which falls off by the effect of gravity, or a small spindle when you spin. So they say that if it keeps on spinning and if it doesn't stop, which means it's a dream. Or if you drop something and it really drops to the ground, it's reality. If it doesn't drop to the ground, it's a dream. Right? So the concept there is you have some way of checking, you know, whether it's reality. And the best way is to go back to something which you know is real.
Which you know is permanent.
Which is permanent, which is real. And I think as much as we can talk about all of this, completely withdrawing from this is very difficult. So one really obvious and best way to do it is go back to something which is real. And that's why spirituality is becoming more and more in need of the hour. And to go back to Swami's words, go back to what Swami says is, you know, how do you really be happy? How do you really live a fulfilling life? How do you really live a purposeful life? The more we go back to this, it is like, you know, going back and referring to that totem which kind of brings you back to reality every moment.
And that's what Swami's name, Swami's form, that's what it's supposed to do to us. We are supposed to hold on to that as the totem, as a signpost, or as a way for us to connect to reality. Because I remember in one discourse, Swami began by saying, all that you think is illusion is actually real. And all that you think is real is actually illusion. You know, because when Swami would speak of some philosophy, it would, what we would call as going above the head, we would not understand anything and say, what is this? This is all very esoteric, some philosophy. So unconsciously, I would be feeling that this is all not real stuff actually. But Swami is saying, all that you think is not real stuff is actually the real stuff. What you think is real, that you are doing bhajan, you are helping others, that you feel is real because it's hands-on. That's actually an illusion of you being a superior, you serving somebody, somebody being inferior. All that is actually an illusion. Dear listeners, we will break for now. we will leave you with a bhajan on the other side of which Brother Chandu will greet you with his segment Love to Love. But as we promised, we will continue this discussion. It has been the most enlightening one for both me and Prem. It has been beautiful because we have got this opportunity to discover many of our own faults and dive into the refreshing, sweet ocean that Bhagwan's message is. We hope you also enjoyed it. As always, you can write to us with your feedback at listener@radiosai.org. And when you write to us, if it's relevant to this theme, this particular theme, we will definitely make use of it during our next satsang next week. Till then, thank you. Jai Sai Ram. Keep listening. Keep Swami as the totem in this virtual world.
Sharanya Dina Natha
Dina Sharanya Dina Natha
Dina Sharanya Dina Natha
Karuna Sagar Sai Baba सागर साई
करुणा सागर साई
सीता रामा राधे श्यामा
राधे श्यामा
सीता रामा राधे जय लीलाधर साई दीन शरण्या दीनानाथा करुणा सागर साई बाबा
राधे श्यामा
साई सुंदर శరణ్యా దీనా.